1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great weekend, whether you're listening live here Saturday on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And if you are, maybe you're listening before or after during the Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade. And if so, I hope you yelled at me as I passed by on the Pensacon float, because I will be up there throwing beads at your face and trying very hard to hit you. Whether you're doing that or whether you're listening on the podcast version, which you can get anywhere you get podcasts and can actually listen to early, we do go up on Friday afternoon on the podcast version. So you can actually get a preview of the show if you so choose, or, you know, however you want to listen. Anyway, in whatever way you're listening, whatever day you're listening, we hope you can make your day a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And joining me to do so, keeping me from having to monologue for another week like I had to last week, please welcome from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Oh, man, just glad to be back, first of all. It's always a pleasure to talk pop culture, movie news, TV, entertainment, all of that stuff going on. And before we jump into it, I just wanted to let the folks that are listening know that you're actually providing a public service by chucking the Mardi Gras beads directly at their heads, because from what I just recently learned, and somebody who's grown up on the Gulf Coast my entire life, been to Mardi Gras from New Orleans, Mobile, Pensacola, the beach, I didn't know that it's bad luck to pick the beads up off the ground. So if you can kind of swat them while they hit you right in the face, then you have good luck for the rest of the year.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Mardi Gras lore.
Does that extend just to the beads, or does it extend to anything?
So I specifically read about the beads. I don't want to talk out of turn. I'd have to imagine that it extends to anything.
Because, I mean, I don't see a lot of people not picking up a moon pie.
No, I would I would certainly pick up a wrapped moon pie. That's the one disclaimer. It has to be wrapped.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... Or, you know, I've seen people, you know, a lot of crews do the cups, or, you know, they do things, you know, obviously if you throw a plushie, you're going to pick up the plushie if it falls, you know.
I know I would. I would pick up the beads if they were good beads. I don't know that I'm ascribing to the superstition as much as I just want a big old fat ring of Mardi Gras beads around my neck so I can look like the person that got the most. So if you're out there and you get a whole bunch of beads, snap yourself a picture of it. Tag us on social media. Let us know that you were there and that you check out the show. We'd love to check those out.
I don't want to know what you're doing to get all those beads, Jeremy.
Come on. Come on. We'll keep it between us. We'll talk about it when we're on break.
All right. Well, it is a big weekend, not just because it's Mardi Gras weekend, but also it's because it's Oscar weekend. So we're going to get into, you know, basically that's going to be the show this week. We're going to talk about what's been nominated, what we think is going to win, what we think should win, all of that good stuff for all of the major categories. So we're not going to get down and dirty into, like, you know, best documentary short or something like that, because...
So by all the categories, you mean the ones that people care about?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that, because, I mean, all of these... I think sometimes... I'll get on my soapbox a little bit here. I think there are sometimes people get fussy with the O, and they're like, oh, well, who cares about who wins best hairstyling? Well, you know who cares about who wins best hairstyling? Those professionals that spend all year trying to make sure that the hairstyling and the makeup in the movie is up to snuff. It's part of the movie. You know, these are people that work hard at what they do. They're creative
and
people.
They're very good at it, 100%.
Yeah, they deserve to be recognized just as mutters do. And, I mean, that's part of what these awards are. You know, I could sit here and talk about things that aren't recognized that absolutely should be. Like, we're past the point, and a lot of the other award shows do it, where there needs to be an Oscar for stunts.
I don't care how good you are at doing hair. If you're not putting your life on the line to make movies the enjoyable experience, especially like the big tent poles and the blockbusters that we love so much, stunt people deserve all of the recognition. So let's make that happen as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's overdue. I think there's been some talk of doing one for casting, which I think is a fine idea too.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is one for production design, but I don't think that there is one specifically that honors the people that put all that together, that create the props, that make all of the, you know, make all of the things that you see on the screen, whether they go out and they find it or they build it. You know, that is a whole line of work. And I actually happen to have a longtime friend who is in that business and is involved in the attempts for that spectrum of the work to have its own union, and they've started their own like award show for their guild. And, you know, they're working towards trying to get recognition from the Oscars as well. So, you know, not just because I have a little bit of a vested interest in that, my good friend Lana is part of that organization, but, you know, I see what the work that goes into that, you know.
Even if it's not televised, and to, you know, tie it back to the joke that I made at the beginning, there are certain things that will get the clicks. There are certain things that are going to move the needle culturally. However, this is an industry award ceremony, and it doesn't have to be televised for people to deserve acknowledgement. So those people that you mentioned, and probably others that we just haven't thought of, definitely deserve an opportunity to be acknowledged for the work that they do, because, and it's cliched, but it really is a group effort, and there's so many things that happen in pre-production, in post-production, things that take place on the screen that we don't even think about. And the reason why we don't think about it is because they're doing the job well, you know?
Well, I'm going to differ with you a little bit. I'm not in favor of taking any of these categories away from the live show. They tried it once, what was it, a year or two ago, where they did like a few of the craft awards before the show, and then they just showed the recording of the speech during the show, and it just didn't work. It just disrupted the whole flow.
And on the flip side of the spectrum, then, do you think they can go longer in order to accommodate the extra ones that you and I are talking about, rather than taking any off?
I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with them going longer. I know people like to joke about the length of the Oscars show, and but you know what? So what? And, you know, like, I don't know if you watched the SAG Awards last week, but I did. SAG Awards is one of the awards that has moved to streaming. It's on Netflix now. And they got through the whole show in a couple hours, which surprised me. That's fairly short for an award show.
Two hours?
But at no time did they play anybody off. Everybody got to speak for as long as they wanted to. There were some, you know, references to them, the winners seeing messages on the teleprompter telling them to wrap it up. But there was never, you know, music coming up and trying to make them leave the stage or anything like that.
All right,
They had some little comedic bits and some host bits, but they didn't go overboard with it. They had some clip packages, but they were ones that made sense. They kept it concise. They did a in memoriam, like every award show does. And here was a novel idea. They had the in memoriam was just the images of the people being honored on the screen. You could see their faces. Every single person that was in the in memoriam, you could see their face. You could read their name. And they weren't continually cutting to some performer who was singing while the reel was going. They just had, I don't know if it was a recorded song or if they had somebody there singing live, but they had a song playing over it. But the focus was on the people who passed away and not on, hey, you know, here's this famous singer. We got to cut to them every 5 seconds. Make sure they get some screen time. Yeah, they did a really great job. Kristen Bell was the host. She was funny. All of her little comedy bits were done with her past co-stars. So that was super fun. And I'll grant you that there's not as many awards to give out at a show like the SAGs as there is at the Oscars. But the SAGs also does TV. So it was movie and TV awards. There were acting awards and you know, all across the board. And they also do a stunts award. So the Screen Actors Guild does recognize the stunt players, which is nice. I think a lot could be learned from the way they did that. I also love that they don't censor it. If somebody drops an F-bomb, you hear the F-bomb. We don't have to question what was said. I'm frankly for just moving all the awards to the streamers, and I think they could do a better job with it. We'll talk about the awards, though, when we come back. We got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We'll be right back. 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We have Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And we are getting into the Oscars, which are coming up just tomorrow night if you're listening live on Saturday. Sunday night on ABC as usual. Although we can discuss whether that is something that should continue or not, as we did right before the break. But the big awards coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk about basically who's nominated, who we think's going to win, who we think should win. We're not going to go through every single category, but we went through during the break and kind of picked the ones that we felt like were the most germane to discuss. Some of these we'll go through very quickly. Some of them, I'm sure there'll be longer discussions. But we're going to start with best visual effects. Jeremy and I are both big fans of the spectacle. We like the big sci-fi movies, the big action movies, the big horror movies, et cetera, that make use of a lot of this kind of stuff. So it feels like a good place for us to start. Nominees are Alien Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked. Now, first of all, hey, somebody actually watched Better Man.
Who?
I mean, somebody that's involved with nominating for the Academy Awards for Best Visual Effects, at least. So there's that. So that, you know, that movie lost a lot of money, lot of money. So it cost something like $150 million to make and made about $2 million. So, I don't think that this is going to be its savior either. I think we're kind of down to three films that are really in the conversation here, Jeremy, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think we're talking about Dune Part 2, we're talking about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and we're talking about Wicked.
Interesting. I would have went a slightly different direction with your third pick and thought Alien Romulus over Wicked, despite my objections to the VFX in Alien Romulus, so you might be right about that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking at the overall popularity of Wicked. You got to remember that while the nominations are done by committees that are specialized in those particular areas of the filmmaking process, so visual effects people are nominated by visual effects people, but when the actual award is voted on, it's voted on by the entire body. There's a lot of people that are voting for visual effects that are not visual effects experts.
Yes.
They just know what looks good to them or what movie they like. So that's where I think Wicked enters the conversation. Although I do think the effects in Wicked were actually very good.
They're great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And probably better than the visual effects in Romulus, although I thought the visual effects in Romulus were good too. But I think it kind of comes down to Dune versus Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, at least in terms of the people that are more serious about visual effects.
I think if we're being intellectually honest, it probably goes to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I mean, the stuff that they're doing is just mind-blowing over there, but I suspect Dune Part 2 is probably going to walk with it.
Well, I think I kind of am wondering, because even though I didn't think, honestly, I'm not a huge fan of either movie, to be completely honest with you. You like Dune Part 2 way more than I do, and everybody seems to like Dune Part 2 way more than I do.
I like Kingdom more than most of the people that I've talked to as well.
I like it fine. I like both of the movies fine. I just don't think they're like upper echelon movies.
Sure.
That being said, this series of Planet of the Apes movies has never been recognized with the Best Visual Effects Oscar, which is just crazy.
That's absurd, yeah.
So I would like to see it get the recognition. I think the work is there. And I think that there is a bit of a buzz that other people feel the same way.
Good.
So yeah, I could see this go on either way, and I'm going to go, this is my go out on a limb pick. I'm going to go out on a limb and pick it to win.
I'd love to see it. I'll go Dune so we can compare notes when we get back, but would be happy with either.
Well, and Dune did win for Part 1, so it's kind of already got, the series already has an Oscar banked in this category, in fairness.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to skip now to Best Original Song. Nominees are going to be El Mal from Emilia Perez, The Journey from The 6888, Like a Bird from Sing Sing, Mi Camino from Emilia Perez, and Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late. Now, this is really interesting to me because Emilia Perez came into the Oscars with the leading amount of nominations this year, 13, just one shy of a record. And then the whole thing has just crashed and burned since then. The contrary, you know how your parents always told you, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was, you know, back in the day. Nowadays, if you don't have anything nice to say, what you do is you go to Twitter and you just say it anyway. And then that ends up tanking your entire Oscar campaign. And that's what's happened with Emilia Perez, because that's what Carla Sofia Gascon had no trouble doing before she became famous.
And spitting hot fire over there. Yeah. Yikes.
And it really has kind of tanked the whole thing. And I think leading into this, I think El Mal was probably the favorite. It's one of the two songs nominated from Emilia Perez. I think it still got a chance of winning. I think that we have seen that she hasn't tanked everything to do with the movie, but I think you got a couple other factors that come into play here. And I will say this, like the movies that are nominated in this category this year, they're fairly obscure overall. I mean, have you even heard of the 6888? The Elton John thing is a documentary. Yeah, Elton is always great, but Elton's won 2 Oscars already. So that could go either way too. There's a lot of acclaim for Sing Sing, but it just hasn't had the campaign behind it. And I think what you could see is if the two songs from Emilia Perez split the vote, could go that way. But you also can't ignore the song The Journey from the 6888, because it is written by perennial Oscar loser Diane Warren, who's been nominated something like 18 times and never won. I don't think this is her time either. And I'm for that because I think she's hugely overrated. I think the woman's written 1 good song in her entire life. And it's one that was not nominated for an Oscar, even though it was from a movie and could have been. That being Rhythm of the Night by DeBarge from Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
What a song.
Back in the day. Yeah, no, that's a great song. That's a legitimately great song.
All
downhill from there as far as I'm concerned.
I got no dog in this race, Julio. I'm looking. The only ones that I've heard are the ones from Emilia Perez, and I don't care for either of them. So I'm going to sit this one out.
Okay. I mean, this is a hard category to pick, but because I've got to make a pick, I'm going to go with Like a Bird from Sing Sing.
All right, Elma, I'm taking your momentum, and I'm going to use that against you. So we'll see what happens.
All right, fair enough. We're going to move on to Best Score. Nominees are The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. Now, let me just say straight off the bat here, the best score of the year, not nominated.
Nope.
We should have seen a nomination for Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Challengers. It's a killer score. Mm-hmm. Won the Golden Globe. Don't know how it didn't make the cut here. It's just weird because Trent and Atticus do have 2 Oscars already, so it's not like they've been ignored by this category. But this is a huge oversight as far as I'm concerned. And none of these scores in my mind come even close to that one. There was even a joke referencing that at the SAGs this week. Yeah. So that tells you something about the score here.
Wild Robot. That's the one I'm picking. Just sentimental favorite. I think Conclave's music works really effectively too. It might have a pretty good chance.
So is Wild Robot your should win and Conclave is your will win? Is that what you're saying?
No, we'll go the other. We'll go Conclave will win, Wild Robot should win.
Okay. I kind of feel like both Wicked and Emilia Perez got in here by virtue of being musicals, and Wicked in particular because none of the songs in that movie were original to the movie. They're all from the Broadway show, so they couldn't be nominated. So yeah. I think there is a factor here of people voting for that not realizing they're not voting for the songs.
Yeah, I see that.
That they're voting for the musical score and not the actual, songs like Popular and Defying Gravity and that sort of thing. But
oh,
I think
Lord, you'd hope that these people know the difference and work in the industry. We'll see.
Some do, and some are still going to vote for just what they. You got to remember that everything's political too, and I don't mean that in the Democrats versus Republican sense. I mean it in the. I'm friends with this guy and, I want this director to cast me and yada, yada, that kind of thing. I think that I would say that Conclave should win, but I think that this is probably going to go to the Brutalist.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with the score. It could be incredible and I wouldn't know. So that you're probably right.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that, though. We're going to move on to Best Film Editing. Now, this is an important category because it's very rare to win an Oscar for Best Picture if you're not at least nominated for Best Film Editing. So you can kind of look at these nominees as being maybe the five that are really nominated for Best Picture. You can also look at that with Director, and we'll talk about that later. But the nominees are Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. Do you have any strong feelings in this category, Jeremy?
So having not seen any of them, I would have had a strong inkling that The Brutalist would probably be leading this category. I don't know if the AI controversy is going to be a ding against it. I imagine it will. My sentimental favorite is Anora, but I think...
Having seen any of these, but I know you saw three of these.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not having seen The Brutalist is specifically what I meant. Yeah, if I said the other, I apologize. I saw Anora, Conclave, and Wicked, and I would give it to Anora. The Academy will give it to Conclave.
I think you're probably right about that, too. I think both of those films are very well edited. I find it very hard for me to vote for a four-hour movie as being the best edited movie.
That's a fair point.
And that's a sentiment that I've heard echoed. You know, of course, we had Pensacon a couple weeks ago. I got to hear some people that actually, you know, are Oscar voters talking about what they liked, what they didn't like, what they were voting for. And I heard over and over again that The Brutalist was just too long. And I will grant you that that's anecdotal, but it's kind of hard to, you know, say, oh, well, yeah, they really did just keep it down to the bone when the movie's, you know, almost 4 hours long. So.
Yeah, if the editing process is about killing your darlings and you have a four-hour movie, you obviously weren't doing your job very as efficiently as needed.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go to Anora, but I think it's going to go to Conclave. But I think this could also be a bellwether for the night. Whichever one wins may have a better inside track at actually winning Best Picture. Got to take a break. Sure. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Did that really just happen? Have I actually understood this weird quirk I've tried to suppress or hide? Is a talent that could help me meet the wizard if I make good? So I'll make good. When I meet the wizard, once I prove my worth, and then I meet the wizard, what I've waited for since birth, and with all his wizard wisdom, by my looks he won't be blinded. Do you think the wizard is dumb? Or like Munchkin, so small-minded? No, he'll say to me, I see who you truly are, a girl on whom I can rely. And that's how we'll begin, the wizard and I.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, and we are deep into the thick of Oscar predictions as the Oscars are coming up on Sunday on ABC. Or, you know, watch that however you watch it. I don't know. Maybe you get them via brain transmission these days. There's no telling. That's the next thing. That's going to be the thing that's going to knock Netflix down. Somebody's going to come up with a way to just transmit movies directly to your brain.
He's kind of busy right now, Julio.
I have a vision. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on. Next category we wanted to touch on is Best Cinematography. Nominations there are for The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Maria, and Nosferatu. Nosferatu is not up for much, and I think it's kind of an underrated film. It's up for this one and costume design, and I think that's it. I'd love to see this one go to Nosferatu. I don't think it's going to, just because I don't think this film has gotten the general love that it should have gotten from the Academy. But I'd sure love to see that happen. Do you have any thoughts here?
I mean, I echo what you said so much. In a perfect world, I feel like movies get their due specifically because of their contributions and where they excel. And in a democracy, oftentimes things go to the more popular films. This is something that you've addressed a couple of times. I feel very strongly that Nosferatu should win for Best Cinematography. If Dune Part 2 got it, I wouldn't be shocked. I feel like, to me, those are the two clear front runners. However, Dune has another opportunity. Nosferatu will never have another chance to be nominated in this category by this filmmaker. So I definitely would like to see Nosferatu win it.
That is until Nosferatu 2, Nosferatu-er.
Nosferatu 2. Yeah.
Nosferatu 2. It's the ballet version of Nosferatu. What do you think? Yeah, I don't think that's as good a vision as the beaming movies directly into people's head. I think I was onto something with that. Let's just leave it.
Yeah,
at that.
It might be true.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on. I didn't say what I thought would win though, because I don't think it will be Nosferatu or Dune 2. I think it's probably going to be The Brutalist.
Okay. I haven't seen it. I think that's a good educated guess. I'm going to say Dune 2 for cinematography.
All right, so we'll move on to Best International Feature. This is interesting this year because I think more than a lot of other years, we're seeing a lot of these films nominated in other categories. So we have Emilia Perez, Flo, The Girl with the Needle, I'm Still Here, and The Seed of the Sacred Fig. So a lot of very acclaimed films here. Emilia Perez, as I mentioned earlier, is up for the most awards this year. I'm Still Here up for a couple other awards, including Best Picture and Best Lead Actress, if I'm remembering correctly. And then Flo, interestingly enough, an animated film, which is also up for Best Animated Feature, which is the next thing we're going to talk about after this. Seed of the Sacred Fig also had a lot of critical support this year. So this is another one of those where, like, 3 months ago, before everybody found out all the bad stuff or all of the opinionated stuff that... Carla Sofia Gascon had been saying on social media, seemed like Emilia Perez was the runaway favorite for this category. Now I think there's some question marks here. What do you think?
Yeah, so the only one of these films that I've seen is Flo. If I were just going to make a shot in the dark, so I would like to see Flo win this one just by default, but if I had to guess, I'm Still Here ends up winning Best International Feature Film.
That's where I'm leaning as well. I think that there is still... I'm surprised to see Flo nominated in this category just because it is so hard for animated features to get recognition outside of the animation categories.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've only had three films in the history of the Oscars, three animated films nominated for Best Picture. And in fact, I even got one of those wrong because I would have sworn that WALL-E had been nominated for Best Picture, and it was not.
Really?
Like, how can a film like WALL-E not get a Best Picture nomination? But it didn't. The three that were, of course, Beauty and the Beast being the first back in the day, and then Up and Toy Story 3 are the ones that have made it into the Best Picture race. No film's ever won it. I don't know that an animated film has ever won Best International Feature, but I just don't feel like this is the year that it's going to happen. And even though I kind of root for Flo as a fan of animation, I do think that it's probably going to be I'm Still Here, unless a lot of people voted before all the controversy started on Emilia Perez. And then it could possibly go to Emilia Perez. But I think I'm Still Here is the safe bet here.
Yeah.
So again, as I said, the next category is Best Animated Feature. Nominees here are Flo, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. Now, I think this is an interesting one too, because I think up until a few months ago, everybody was saying, oh, this is Inside Out 2's to lose. But I think there's been a groundswell of support for Flo, and there's also been a groundswell of support for The Wild Robot. And I no longer think that Inside Out 2 is the winner here.
No.
Like, I don't think it's really even got an outside shot. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's unfair. I didn't think it was that great. And I was a big fan of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the second one was a fine movie. I didn't think it was an all-time classic.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I saw Flo and I saw The Wild Robot, and I love both of them. it would be a flip of a coin as to which I would prefer to see win out of the two of those, but I suspect Flow is going to win Best Animated Feature.
So your prediction is Flow. All right, I'm going to take a page out of your book there, Jeremy, and I'm going to just be contrary with you and say The Wild Robot is the winner.
Respect.
I do think that The Wild Robot is a little bit more mainstream of a film, and I think that helps in that regard. So we'll see, though. However, moving on to Best Original Screenplay, nominations here for Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5, and The Substance. Now, first of all, let's address the elephant in the room. A Real Pain should be in the Best Picture race.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that it's not. There are a couple of movies that I think could have easily been knocked out of there and included that film in there. It's a really solid film. We're going to definitely see at least one Oscar win for this movie. I'll just, you know, spoilers, that's coming up a little later in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a real shot at winning Best Original Screenplay as well. It is a very well-regarded screenplay. The Academy, because the actors branch is the biggest branch in the Academy, they love to give actors awards for writing. You can see it. Look at Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. You can look at Emma Thompson. You can look at Mel Gibson. You know, there's a ton of them out there. Jesse Eisenberg wrote the screenplay and directed and produced the film as well as starring in it. I think that this could be Jesse Eisenberg's time. I think the spoiler here is Anora. I think The Substance also has a very original screenplay, perhaps the most original of the original screenplay nominations. But I feel like that is a little bit harder of a road hoe for some voters. It's not a very mainstream film. It is kind of out there. While it's wildly original, I think this is going to A Real Pain.
Yeah, that's I mean, you make some really compelling points, especially that the Academy likes it when actors write and do a good job at it. Man, this is a real Sophie's choice here, because I love Anora, A Real Pain, and The Substance, and in fact would put those three like in my top five favorite movies of the year. But how does one compare these things that are just so drastically different? That's where I always struggle with trying to quantify what the best of these is. I think I would like to see it go to Anora by a hair, and I think it will go to A Real Pain, and I'm happy with that too.
So we'll go ahead and go on to Best Adapted Screenplay. Nominees there: A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing. Now, this is another one that I think that Emilia Perez had a shot at before everything went to heck. I think we're down now to probably it being between Conclave and Nickel Boys. Nickel Boys being this weird movie that really only got nominated for screenplay and for Best Picture. But I think there's a lot of love for Conclave. It's won a lot of screenwriting awards already. I think that's the one to watch here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Conclave. To be fair, it's the only in this category that I have seen, but I also feel that there is a lot of inertia behind the movie, and I would not be surprised for it to win this one.
Well, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Go away from my window, leave at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say you're looking for someone, never weak, but always strong, to protect you and defend you, whether you are right or wrong. Someone to open each and every door, but it ain't me, babe. No, no.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube. And we are continuing to go through the nominations for the Academy Awards, which are coming up just in a little bit here on Sunday. We're getting into the big categories now. Best Supporting Actor is the next category. Nominees are Yura Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this one, Jeremy.
No.
Kieran Culkin has won every award leaning up to this. It's really, in fairness, a lead performance, but, you know, it's that is how it is. He's nominated and supporting. He's going to win this.
I spent some time trying to parse whether you could technically classify it as a lead performance, and I think you can. I understand how Jesse Eisenberg is the point of view character, but the movie ends with a shot of Kieran Culkin. They're co-leads at the very least, but I totally agree with you. This is one of the categories where the person that I want to win is also the person that's going to win, so that's very cool.
I could make big arguments for wanting to see Yura Borisov win for Anora or see Edward Norton win for A Complete Unknown. Both of those are fantastic performances, especially Edward Norton. I mean, you know, his take on Pete Seeger in this movie is just, it's so completely different than any other Edward Norton performance.
Nice.
You know, he's just so good in it. But yeah, this one's a lock. Kieran Culkin. Yeah, this is like this of any award this year, that is the most secure lock. Lock that one in on your bingo card. That's happening.
Yeah.
It's like the free space.
yeah.
We'll move on to Best Supporting Actress. Nominees here, Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, who we just heard there as Joan Baez on the music that we came in on. Ariana Grande in Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. Now, this is the other award that it feels like there was some concern that the whole Emilia Perez controversy was going to yank this Oscar out of Zoe Saldana's hands when she'd been winning awards left and right. She
right.
did win the SAG last week. So okay. It seems like it's not being held against her. So I think that she's got the best chance out of anybody in this category to win. I think if she doesn't, it goes to Ariana Grande, which is a much better performance than I thought it was going to be.
It was very good.
She's fantastic. Now, if I had my druthers, I'd give it to Monica Barbaro. She's so good in A Complete Unknown and just such a great young actress that is just starting to come into her own. I would love to see that happen, but it's not going to happen. I do think this is going to Zoe Saldana. What do you think?
I'll have to take your word for it as far as all of that stuff goes. The only real contribution I have to this conversation is that Isabella Rossellini has so very little dialogue or screen time in Conclave that it almost felt like an obligatory nomination to me because thematically she's a significant character, no question about it, but she doesn't have much to do in the movie, so that was something that has stood out to me since the beginning, but I echo a lot of what you said otherwise.
We'll move on to Best Actor. Nominees Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice. Now, I think most people would say that Adrian Brody is a lock here. He has been, you know, winning the awards left and right for this. He's been the conversation all through things. But then Sunday, Timothy Chalamet took the sack in a surprise, winning over Adrian Brody. Now, I will also say the other place that Adrian Brody didn't win is at the Independent Spirit Awards because he was nominated, but those awards are not gender specific. So he was competing against not just actors, but also actresses. And he lost to an actress that we'll discuss here in a moment. I think that this is where the AI controversy dings The Brutalist the hardest, because it is known that AI was used specifically to correct the accents on Adrian Brody and Felicity Jones's characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he didn't win the SAG. I think that's why Timothée Chalamet took the SAG. Keeping in mind, the biggest body of voters at the Academy is the actors. I think I'm going out on a limb here. This is going out on a limb, but I think Chalamet is going to surprise people and win.
Oh, that I think would be a nice surprise just because he's so young and he does have a lot of momentum behind him. I don't know, just to play it safe, I'll go with Adrian Brody.
Now, I will say that Oscar voting was done before the SAGs were awarded, so nothing that he said that night can influence the vote. He did give a great speech and how he talked about how he, you know, strives in his career to become one of the greats. And, you know, that was a speech that I think if it had come a couple of weeks earlier would have helped him. But that doesn't come into a factor. But I have this feeling that that's the spoiler award of the night. So I'm going out on the limb there. Now, that being said, Ralph Fiennes and Conclave.
He's great.
Like, I mean, that would probably be my pick if I was just giving it on my own pick. We'll move on from there. We're going on to Best Actress, and here's where we get to talk about the actress that won the Independent Spirit. The nominees are Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascon for Amelia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, and Fernando Torres for I'm Still Here. Just go ahead and throw Carla Sofia Gascon out the window. It's unfortunate. She's the first openly trans actress to be nominated.
And now she's been thrown out a window. Good job, Julio.
Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. This is coming down to Demi Moore, who has won a bunch of these, including the SAG this week, and Mikey Madison, who is the one that has won the ones that Demi Moore hasn't won, including the BAFTA and including the Independent Spirit, where she beat not just Demi Moore, but also Adrian Brody.
Mm.
I am so torn on this because I think these are the two best performances of the year and my two favorite movies of the year. The Substance and Anora are like my 1 and 1A for the year.
Yeah.
Just both phenomenal movies, both phenomenal performances. I think there is a lot of emotional favor behind Demi as an older actress who's never even been nominated versus Mikey being young and possibly having more opportunities. But I also look at if you ever get a chance to see an interview with Mikey Madison and realize what a strikingly different person she is than the character she plays in Anora, down to the voice, the body language, everything. It just makes you appreciate even more how great her performance is. I think Demi Moore is going to win this, but I'd kind of like to see Mikey Madison win it.
Yeah. I mean, you laid it out pretty perfectly. I guess to differ a little bit, I don't think it's that close in terms of performance. I think that Mikey Madison excelled in a way that Demi Moore's character in The Substance did not allow her to, you know, for better or worse. It was a stylistic choice, I think, in a lot of ways. But I think Mikey Madison is incredible. I would give it to her. Demi Moore will probably win it.
I do think it's a shame that, you know, in a sense, Demi Moore's performance in The Substance is only half the performance. And the other half is Margaret Qualley playing a version of the same character. And it's a shame that she didn't get nominated. She deserved to be recognized. So we got to throw that in there as well.
Yeah.
Getting down the wire here, last two categories. First, Best Director. Nominees are Jacques Alidaud for Amelia Perez, Sean Baker for Anora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, Coralie Farragut for The Substance, and James Mangold for A Complete Unknown. This is an interesting category, too, because I think that one of the favorites here, that being Conclave, the director for that film did not get nominated despite getting a Best Picture nomination. There's been a few times that Best Picture award winner was not a Best Director nominee. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the future here. But so we know that Conclave ends up not playing a factor in this particular category. So I think it comes down to Sean Baker for Anora and Brady Corbett for The Brutalist. And I think that Anora is just a tighter film. And I think I think Sean Baker wins this one.
Yeah. Before all of this, critical acclaim for it, I would have been like, that's a Palme d'Or winner, referring to Anora. But to see it get all of this mainstream recognition is awesome. I think Sean Baker is one of these kind of generational voices, and he needs to win this award.
All right, so we're moving into the final award of the night, that being Best Picture. Nominees are Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. I think this has come down to two films at this point.
Amelia Perez and Wicked. I agree.
Unfortunately for the fans of both of those movies, I don't think it's either one of those. I think it's really come down to Anora and Conclave. Anora, here's what Anora has going for it. The Palme d'Or, the Producers Guild, the Directors Guild, which only I think it's three movies have ever won the Producers Guild and the Directors Guild and not won Best Picture. Those movies were Brokeback Mountain, La La Land, and 1917. So they're all fairly recent movies, in fairness. On the other hand, Conclave won the Screen Actors Guild Ensemble Award, which is their Best Picture Award, and won the BAFTA. Got to remember, you got ranked choice voting on the Best Picture Award. I think that Anora is more divisive a film than Conclave. I think Conclave is going to be on a lot of people's number one or number two, and I think that pushes it to the win. I would give it to Anora, but I think Conclave is going to win it.
Ditto. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're 100% right about that. I would love to see The Substance come in and win, you know?
Oh, I would too. I would too. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. But we will see. We'll revisit this and find out how we did later. We got to go, but enjoy the Oscars, and we'll talk to you next week. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.